Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
It's good to be back here again with you on another summer evening.
Always great to be here on Sunday night studying the Word.
Amen.
And we've been all excited about St. Paul. I'm always excited about St. Paul. He's my hero.
Now, St. Paul, he was the one that wrote all those letters, like the Timothy and the Galatians.
The ones that start, Dear Tim.
Yeah. Yo, Timmy.
Yeah, that's him. When I get to heaven, I'm gonna track him down and see if he'll go to Starbucks with me so we can talk for a while. But there won't be any time.
You'll have all of eternity. Got a second? He'll go, I got all of eternity to talk with you, Phil.
So would you like to be on our radio show? No, oh, wait a minute. I'm dead. I forgot. And you're dead, too.
Oh, my.
Okay. But we've been going through 2 Timothy, because especially chapter 3 and 4, there's so much in here that applies to today's evangelism. Last week, we covered how people want to gather teachers around them that tell them what they want to hear, what their itching ears want to hear. Mm-hmm. And Paul tells Timothy, you need to do the work of an evangelist, and you need to stay focused, and you need to preach the gospel, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it's raining or snowing, whether it's, no, he didn't say that, but under whatever conditions you find yourself, you got to preach the gospel, because this is your responsibility. Because Timothy was his spiritual son. Paul was his mentor. And as we're going to see tonight, Paul was about to depart, as he says, literally. I mean, he uses the word depart, which makes it sound like he's getting on a train or something. But, you know, he was about to be killed. And in fact, by the time Timothy got this letter, he was, in fact, killed.
Yeah.
But he's brought Timothy up in the faith, so to speak, and has formed him, as we'd say in our time, and knows that Timothy is a solid young man who's going to continue the faith. He talks about how he knows the scriptures because his mother and his grandmother taught him the scriptures. And so he's confident that Timothy's going to be able to carry this on. And so when we ended up last week, he tells Timothy, you have to do the work of an evangelist. Mm-hmm. You have to always be ready to preach.
Oh, and I'm sorry. I was looking at my 2 Timothy chapter 4 here. Paul doesn't get into basically all the happenings of the day, other than to tell Timothy that, as you said, whether it's in season or out of season, convenient or inconvenient, you have to preach the truth. And there's going to, he catechized him. Mm-hmm. He formed him in the faith.
Yes.
So that he has deep roots. Mm-hmm. As anybody that is formed knows, if you don't have deep roots, and Jesus even talks about this, if you don't have deep roots, then when a storm comes by, you're gonna be like just uprooted. Mm-hmm. Because if you build a house on sand, when a storm comes by, it shifts.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes all over the place. But if you built a house on solid rock, a solid foundation, it can withstand the buffets of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And it will remain. So Paul is encouraging Timothy through his formation to remain faithful to the gospel, faithful to the message that Paul has told him and the witness that Paul has given about the cross of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. salvation in Jesus Christ, and to hand this on to those that he's going to minister to,
mm-hmm.
and not to be diverted by fads that come up.
Yes.
By, you know, any, oh, here's something that's very glittery, let's go to that. Mm-hmm. You know, whether there was, you know, whether there was an ice age or whether there was a heat wave, we're not going to get into climate change, but, you know, you still have to preach the gospel. Jesus didn't come to, he came for the salvation of souls.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yes.
That's the most important thing.
Yes.
You know, did God create the earth? Yes, he did. And he created it to be lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
and man's to have dominion over the earth.
And we have dominion over the earth. Exactly.
We have to be good stewards of the earth.
Exactly.
But we have dominion.
Yeah. You know, everything would have been fine if Adam wouldn't have taken the bite of that fruit. You know, it's all Adam's fault.
We wouldn't have had global warming. Oh, no, wait a minute.
No.
That would have been nice temperature all the time.
It was a nice, even temperature. Everything was subtropical. It was
72 degrees all the time.
72 degrees all the time. Nice dew on the ground in the morning. Low humidity levels. It never snowed.
Never snowed.
Yeah. And then, no, they had to go and, wow, that tree looks pretty nice. Whoa, look at that.
But that's a good point, because last week you made a good point about how these people, Paul encountered people that had turned to fables. He calls them fables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other places he calls them doctrines of demons.
Yeah.
He calls them fables. And, you know, you made a good point about how there's a kernel or a nucleus of truth, and then it's kind of a sugar-coated, candy-coated lie that's built around it.
Yeah.
So that you taste the candy and you go, wow, this is great. This is my kind of truth.
Yeah.
And it's truth with a small t, unfortunately, rather than a capital T. But Paul says these people want to hear things that make them happy. And everything that I have taught you about the faith, and I know that you know the scriptures, you have to be ready, because this is what you're going to be faced with. And if you fast forward to our time, and probably every time in between, there's always been this going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's always been people that want to entertain different gospels, different truths. And there's always people that have to kind of refocus you back to what the truth actually is.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, last year or a couple of years ago, we did a series about how the gospel has been hijacked. And now the gospel is any number of things, from, you know, be nice to everybody and recycle your pop cans and, you know, whatever you want to believe is okay as long as you're nice. And that's the important part of the gospel. And this is what people walk around thinking. So Timothy, as a young evangelist, pastor, bishop, you know, he was an elder or a bishop in the church at Ephesus, which was very important in those days. And he was a young guy. And so Paul has all this instruction for him. This is a pastoral kind of thing. You know, it's really hard to be a pastor, in the sense of you have to really shepherd the people that the Holy Spirit's put in your flock, so to speak. And just like a shepherd has to watch a bunch of sheep and has to look for enemies and has to keep the sheep together, has to keep the sheep moving in the same direction, has to keep going to where the pasture land is, the pastor at a church has to do that as well. And Paul's very confident that Timothy is going to do this. And as they encounter other sheep, or they encounter sheep in their own flock that start to go astray, because Paul commonly talks about false teachers are going to come from your midst. They're not going to come from Mars or Jupiter. They're going to come from your midst. So from among you, somebody's going to start teaching wrong stuff, and you have to be able to recognize that. So after he describes all this, when we get down to verses 6 through 8, and this is in 2 Timothy 4, you can read that, Steve, when you get it ready. But it gets down to what Paul's experience has been, because he's getting ready to depart. He knows that he's leaving soon. So if you have that ready, how about read 6 through 8?
For I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance.
That's awesome. So here's Paul. He's imprisoned in Rome. He's written all this stuff about do the work of an evangelist, this pastoral letter that he sends to him. And Paul has just finished up. He kind of knows that he's finishing it up, but he's just finished up a career of preaching the word and evangelizing through the whole Roman world. He's been from the Middle East to Turkey to Greece to Italy. He's been around.
Yeah.
And he's talked in synagogues, and he's talked in fields, and he's talked in on mountains, and he's talked in on ships, and he's talked to just about anywhere you can talk. And he hasn't always been treated really well, but he's kept on doing it.
Yeah.
And he says he knows that his time is short. He says, I'm leaving very soon. Whether we knew it was going to be like next week or, you know, day after tomorrow or 2 weeks from, we don't know, but exactly how long it was, but it was right after the letter goes out. And he says he's about to be offered as a drink offering, a libation.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek wording there actually means I'm already a martyr. You know, he says, I'm already a martyr. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to be martyred. And although, of course, this drink offering thing's first mentioned in Genesis 35 with Jacob at Bethel. And he pours a drink offering on the rock of a memorial rock that he set up. But Paul knows he's not going to be, he's not offered as an atonement, of course. But he's offered as, you know, he's had the honor of preaching the gospel. He's had the honor of running the race. He's had the honor of keeping the faith. He's done what Jesus had told him to do. Even back on the road to Damascus, which was now probably like 30 years before this, he's done what he was supposed to do. And he says, I'm going now. I'm already a martyr. And he probably foresaw that he was going to have a bloody death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was right in the middle of the persecutions by Nero. Peter and Paul are killed within weeks of each other. I mean, this was a horrible time that was going on. And he foresees this, but as you see in that, he speaks of it pretty calmly and confidently.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, gee, Timothy, I'm really scared because they're going to take me out of this cell and they're going to kill me. I just know it. I'm just pacing around my cell here and I can't sleep and
right.
I'm a nervous wreck. He talks very calmly and confidently that he's going to go to be offered up.
Yeah, I mean, he says to Timothy, he says, I've competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And I think for Paul, anybody who studies Paul, they realize that the most important thing for him or to him is that he just wants to know Christ and Christ crucified.
Yes.
And that's the only thing that matters to him after he is, after he encounters Christ on the road to Damascus. It radically changes his life, the whole direction of his life. And so everything else that he had achieved up until that point, he counts it all as loss. Mm-hmm. He says it's rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
Because in it, nothing else really matters because without it, there's no salvation. And Paul greatly understands this.
Mm-hmm.
So as he is, as you said, as he is looking at the time that's at hand, it's interesting, you know, the time of my departure is at hand. You know, he's departed. He knows he's going to depart mm-hmm. this earthly life
soon.
But and he would always be in conflict of, I want to be with the Lord.
Yes.
But I know that it's probably better that I'm here because then I can instruct.
Yeah.
But I really want to be with the Lord.
Yes.
So he was torn between this earthly life
mm-hmm.
and what God had him doing as he was witnessing and preaching the gospel.
Yes.
And until the time that he was called into the place that God had prepared for him.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent point. Because he knows when he's martyred, he's going to get this crown of righteousness. He's going to be with the Lord. He's going to be dancing around on streets of gold. He's mm-hmm. going to be living in some beautiful mansion made out of precious stones.
Yeah.
He's going to be hanging out and just, but on the other hand, if he stays here, he can evangelize more people. He can do more work. He can get more successors ready. I mean, he had others, obviously, but it sounds like Timothy's probably his favorite. You know, he doesn't write letters to too many other people. Well, I guess Titus and, but anyway.
Yeah, there's a few.
But like you say, and I can't remember the reference offhand, he says, well, if I die, it's great because then I get to be with Christ. But if I live on, that's great too because I can do more work. So
yeah. He's,
this is his, I mean, most people would think that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be a weird thing for somebody to say, but yeah. He was very serious about it.
Yeah, very serious about it. Yeah.
And you can see, like, in somebody who's trying to live a Christian life and walk the way that you should be walking, you can see that death may liberate you from that struggle, and you can end up being with Christ and having, you know, the bliss of heaven and paradise, you know, all the things that we read about. Because staying here, you know, you continue your struggle.
Right.
But
right.
If you're supposed to continue the struggle, that's okay too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, Paul even points out many times that the persecution that he receives now, you know, the inconvenience or the it's nothing compared yes. to what
yes.
awaits him.
Yes.
You know, the persecution that he's receiving now on this earth, it's nothing compared to what awaits him
yes.
in heaven when he's reunited with the Lord.
Yes.
So he understood this well. And it's interesting because at first he persecuted the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he stood there and held the cloaks when they martyred Stephen.
Mm-hmm. Not you, the other one.
Yeah, the other one. but he witnessed this.
Mm-hmm.
He conspired in it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says, you know, I'm the least worthy to be doing this, because mm-hmm. he stood there and he watched Stephen get stoned to death. But now he has been given the command to go and preach to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, he always went to the Jewish synagogues first. Most mm-hmm. of the times they threw him out.
Mm-hmm.
And even when he went to the Gentiles, sometimes they didn't, you know, mm-hmm. always listen to him. But Paul laid the foundation for the early church in a way that, you know, even the other 11 disciples, I mean, as much as they preached and as much as they witnessed, you know, there's the Gospels, but man, there's so much from Paul mm-hmm. that's recorded.
Mm-hmm. And you see how his personality comes through in that passage where he says,
yeah.
I'm not worthy to be an apostle.
Yeah.
I was called, but differently than the other ones, and I'm yeah. not worthy to be an apostle because I persecuted the church of God.
Yeah.
But I've done more than all of them.
Yeah. He's been very busy.
That's his Pharisee personality coming
yeah.
through. I've done more than all those guys. But, and then he says, well, it doesn't matter whether they hear me or whether they hear one of the other guys, as long as they get saved.
Yeah.
That's the important part. that's good.
Yeah. So he's, you know, and he knows that the crown of righteousness awaits him
yeah.
because he's been faithful to the call.
Yes.
He's been faithful to the calling that he's had at hand, that God has given him to go out and preach the gospel
yes.
and to proclaim the gospel to the nations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he knows now that after he leaves, the faith still has to be spread and passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's counting on Timothy. He's going to imply in the passage about running the race and fighting the fight. He's done what his work was supposed to be. He's done, you know, 30 years of this.
Yeah.
And, he's fought against false teachers. You know, he's put up with being thrown out of the synagogue. He's been put up, put up with Gentiles attacking him, Jews attacking him. He's been, you know, we're gonna read from 2 Corinthians in a little while about all the stuff he went through, but he wants to warn, he's warned Timothy that people aren't always going to endure sound doctrine, and they're going to gather false teachers around them to tell them what they want to hear. But you also have to be ready, Timothy. We don't know if you call them Tim. You also have to be ready because you're going to face enemies. Mm-hmm. And people aren't just going to sit back and say, oh, Timothy, I don't agree with you, but that's okay. They may come at you.
Right.
They may stone you. They may beat you. They may, who knows, put you in prison like they put me in prison.
Yeah.
This wasn't the first time Paul was in prison. And so he wants to warn Timothy that even though he's going to go on preaching, because after all, there's a big field, there's a big fields out there for harvest. And if Paul's going to die, that's one less really big worker in the field. That's yeah. a really big worker who's pretty fearless and pretty outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul didn't usually back down from people and say, oh, that guy scares me.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, that encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
You know, nobody else had that.
No.
Kind of experience.
No.
Only Paul.
Yeah.
So it you know, you have to look at even in our day, like throughout the ages, in our day and before, when people encountered Christ or when Christ appeared to them and gave them a mission or instructed them on what they were to do, they did it faithfully.
Yes.
Because that encounter with Christ is so strong.
Yes.
And so life-changing that, you know, when Jesus says, no one who puts their hand back to the plow is fit for the kingdom of heaven,
mm-hmm.
it really speaks to the truth of everything I had before that encounter with Christ is of no value, mm-hmm. basically.
And he was a Pharisee.
And he was, yeah. And so he's so transformed, his heart and his mind are so transformed by that encounter with Christ that, you know, he tells Timothy, oh, where's it at here? Reprimand and encourage through all patience and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to convince people. You have to reprimand people,
mm-hmm.
but you also have to encourage them with all patience and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, oh, okay, we're gonna have a crusade and then you're done with them.
Yeah.
Or you're gonna meet them and then you're gonna talk with them a few times, and if they don't, you know, they don't believe you, well, you know, the heck with them. You know, through all patience and teaching, he's telling him to be persistent, mm-hmm. just as he's been persistent yes. in proclaiming the gospel.
Yes. It's a command to carry on.
Yeah.
Because the word has to keep going forth. I mean, the world wasn't nearly evangelized at this point. I mean,
right.
there was a lot of evangelization, but there was a lot of territory to cover.
Yeah.
And so it was a command to carry on. So Paul basically says, I've done my work the best I could, and I've run the race I was supposed to do. This was sort of a course that was set out for me, starting on that road to Damascus, and I've done that, and now I'm going to be gone, so you, Timothy, are going to have to be the one that carries this on, because you're one of the successors. And when he talks about that crown of righteousness, he says, it's not just me, but it's for everybody who's done their part. Everybody who's done what they were commanded to do, everybody who has spread the word, are going to get that same crown of righteousness.
Yeah. I mean, think of the implication to Timothy, because Paul is a firsthand, he's a first generation, he has seen, you know, he saw the persecution of Jesus.
Yeah.
He saw the resurrection. But now, that original witness that he is going to transfer to the next generation who maybe didn't see all this.
Amen.
Yeah.
I know that's not the music already.
It is.
Oh, well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as Paul encouraged Timothy, your faith and your heart would be open to follow the Lord in all truth and all righteousness and to abandon your heart to Christ that he may be Lord of your life. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.